first to Luke. Well, in fact, Luke might be the only place you open up to tonight. Luke chapter 2. Here, you know, we're in Luke, and Luke chapter 2, this is about the birth of Jesus. And as I'm going through this, you know, we've heard this so many times, it gets read so much during this season. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what's in this, God, that you want me to share? And he pointed something out very interesting to me, and I'll just point it out to you as well. I don't know that it's extremely deep theologically, but I think it's good nonetheless. So let's begin reading here in chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Okay, now let's back up here and kind of walk through this a little bit. As you know the story, the order went out for everybody to be taxed. Well, everybody had to go to the village of their ancestry. That's why it says here in verse 3 that everyone into his own city. Everybody went to be taxed to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So you can see here in this that, you know, if you were the house of the lineage of somebody else, you'd have gone to that particular city or location. But Joseph had to go into Bethlehem, and, you know, Mary also. But I want you to think for a moment that, just imagine this scenario. This decree has gone out, and everybody has to go back to the hometown to be taxed. Well, actually, to be counted for the taxing. Do you think that when this happened, when this decree went out and this was taking place, do you think that there might have been a lot of traffic on the roads? Now remember, see, here's the thing. You know, growing up as a kid, you're trained to celebrate Christmas. So in my mind, as a child growing up, I'm associating Christmas with this story. The problem was, there was no Christmas until this story. You understand what I'm saying? Well, here they have this order to go home and be counted so that they can be taxed. That means everyone who could trace their lineage back, say to David, had to go to Bethlehem. So for a period of time, there would have been this great increase in population, not only in Bethlehem, but in other similar cities where people trace their origin. That means that as Mary and Joseph were on their way to Bethlehem, you know how you see these pictures of like Mary on the donkey and Joseph, and they're all alone? Well, really, that probably was the furthest thing from the truth, or is the furthest thing from the truth that could be imagined, because with everybody having to go back to Bethlehem, they were probably traveling with a group of people. Because remember, everyone had to go back to the hometown to be counted. So there would have been a lot of traffic on the roads relative to what traffic would have been at that time. Well, they get to Bethlehem, and you know, Mary's pregnant, and it says that the time came for her to be delivered. In verse 7, it says that she brought forth her newborn son, firstborn son, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, this is why there was no room for them in the inn. Now, you have to understand that in Bethlehem, Bethlehem is roughly about 5 miles from Jerusalem. I mean, we're not talking hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. It's pretty close. And in fact, you know, I live about roughly 5 miles from here, from this church. Well, maybe it's not quite 5 miles, but it's close to it. So the distance from this church to a little bit further beyond where I live is about the distance from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It's not all that far. Well, in Bethlehem, there would have been more than one inn, more than one place for somebody to stay. But everything was booked up. So they end up in this manger. All right. Well, it says that she gave birth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, here's what's interesting. The modern definition of manger is a little like a feeding trough. But in the language of the era wherein this happened, the word manger, well, in fact, over in Luke chapter, I think it's 13 verse 15 or 15 verse 13, the same Greek word is interpreted stall. In the language of this era, it wouldn't have been a little feeding trough. It would have been a place where animals were kept, and more than likely sheep, especially sheep, would have been kept, and it would have been more of a cave-like structure instead of a man-made structure. Well, the interesting thing is, and I've done a little research on this, over there in this area, and I don't mean just Bethlehem, but say like the Middle East, where it is, where they have done, you know, archaeological digs, this, that, and the other, they found many of these types of structures, not made by man, but like natural caves. And the sheep deposits can be 6, 8, 10, 20 feet deep. But they're so packed down from all of the years and years and years of use that it seems like it's a hard floor. Well, these were the conditions wherein Mary gave birth to Jesus. It says, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now look at the next verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. And then you can read the story how that the angel begins telling them, look, you know, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And right now, this moment, today, is born in Bethlehem a Savior, Christ the Lord. Well, have you ever wondered why the angel appeared to the shepherds? Now think about it. Why not? Okay, in this era, in this day and time, when it comes to announcing the Messiah, who would have been in the best position to have the most influence on the people? The high priest. Why not appear to the high priest? Why not appear to some Pharisees? Why not appear to some Sadducees? Why not appear to some scribes? Why these shepherds? Why appear to these shepherds? Well, here's what's interesting. You'll notice here in verse 8 where it says that there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock, singular. It's one flock. Now, here's what's interesting. Bethlehem was so close to Jerusalem. Remember when Jesus went into the temple and there were the money changers, and you know, he chased them out and so forth. And you know, supposed to be a house of prayer, you made it a den of thieves. Well, what was happening in those days, when people would come in, say for the Passover, they had to bring a lamb for the sacrifice. And when they would bring the lamb in, the lamb had to pass inspection by the priests, okay? And they had this real scam going. They would take a look at this lamb, and they would say, oh, no, this lamb is not fit for the sacrifice. And the people might protest and say, but this lamb is perfect. We've examined this lamb from head to toe and top to bottom and in between. And this is a perfect lamb. Oh, no, we're sorry. We can't use this lamb. You can't. Why, this lamb is faulty. What do you mean faulty? We gave him a bath in woolite before we brought him here. He's shiny clean. How can you say that this lamb isn't acceptable? Because we're the priests and we have final say-so. We're sorry. You can't offer this lamb. Well, what am I going to do? It's Passover. Well, we just happen to have some lambs right over here that we'd be more than willing to sell to you. And what they were doing was charging exorbitant prices for Passover lambs. These were very special lambs. What happened throughout the year in between Passovers? The priest had developed this system. Now, this goes way back even before this story here. The priests had developed this system of lamb raising, and they had their own special group of lambs that they would raise, and they actually did a lot of breeding to try to get them to be as close to perfect as possible so they could really scam people when they came into town. And they had these lambs were kept outside of Jerusalem, and which ultimately was outside of Bethlehem as well. And there were special shepherds. Not just any shepherd. So you had to like apply for this job. You had to be accepted for this job to be a shepherd over the Passover lamb. And your job, your only job, was to watch over the Passover flock to make sure nothing happened to them. This is why these shepherds were in this kind of condition, watching over the flock by night and so forth. You had to watch over this flock 24 hours a day if you were a Passover lamb shepherd. And watch it. You had to make sure that as you watched, no animals, like lions or tigers or bears would come in and attack and kill and all this other, because these were special lambs reserved for use at Passover time. So, when this angel appears to these shepherds and says, hey, listen, guess what? Unto you this day is born in the city of David, Bethlehem, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Okay? Now, watch this. It says in verse 12, this will be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now jump over to verse 16. It says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Have you wondered how they knew which manger? Out of all the places they could have gone and all the other manger, because archaeology has proven there are several of these cave-like structures in between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, numerous. You ever wondered how they knew which one to go to? All right, now think. These mangers are cave-like structures wherein flocks are kept from time... Well, when they're not out in the field, that's where you keep them. An angel appears to you and says, this is what you're going to find, the babe lying in a manger. Okay, there are dozens of these mangers in between here and Jerusalem, in between here and Bethlehem. What manger? And then one shepherd says, well, hey guys, why don't we start with ours? Let's go take a look, starting with our manger, and see. Now, obviously, I can't prove this with Scripture, but they knew which one to start at. They knew which one to go to. Now, with these shepherds shepherding the Passover lamb, and their responsibility is to guard this flock against all attack, they left to go find a baby. if anything had happened to this flock, I don't know if there was a death penalty or what. I have no idea. I haven't been able to find anything out about that. But these guys left. You don't just leave, even if it weren't the Passover lamb flock, any flock, you just don't leave your flock and run off somewhere. Well, they had seen angels. And look at this. Look at this. This angel appears unto them and tells them what they're going to find. And then verse 13 says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this word multitude means exactly what it sounds like. Heavenly host literally means there would have been other angels there. I find it amazing that apparently nobody else was aware that this had happened. Just these guys. And it says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So here they are. You know, they're talking about the day's work, what they're going to do tomorrow and so forth, and just all these kinds of things. Then all of a sudden, there's an angel appearing before them, and the glory of God is shining around them. Would you have been a little bit, you know, like wondering what's going on? And this angel begins declaring these things to you. And then all of a sudden, there's this massive choir that's saying, "In glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men." Wouldn't that motivate you to take action for something? And yet we don't have record that anybody else ever saw that or ever experienced that. I don't know. I find that a little interesting myself. But nevertheless, this angel appeared to them, only to them. And they left their flock and they go running to the manger, says with haste, running to the manger, and there he is, the baby, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. Now here's what's so interesting. They see this. Then they go out in verse 17, and it says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Concerning the child. They were telling people, the Messiah has been born. We've seen the baby. And it says, verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I have no idea, but I wonder how many people believe them. Now, you know what? I personally don't believe very many people did, and I'll tell you why. Because there's no record in Scripture that there was this massive rush to this manger or to try and find Mary and Joseph and the baby. I mean, for centuries, the Jews have been told the Messiah is coming. The Savior is coming. And here come these angels, or these shepherds, and they say, we're out there watching the Passover flock. All of a sudden, there's an angel that appears out of nowhere, and he tells us that the Messiah has been born. And he tells us where to find this baby, and then after he tells us that, there are angels all over the place, like the grains of sand on the sea, so many you can't count them. And they're praising and singing and worshiping and declaring and shouting, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so we left and we ran, and sure enough, we found a baby just like those angels told us. I mean, there he is. The Messiah was born. The Messiah, he's here. You've been out in that field a little too long, Mr. Shepherd. You've been hanging around those sheep just a little too long, Mr. Shepherd. There's no record that anybody believed them. Oh, I'm sure that maybe some folks might have been inclined to believe it, but nevertheless, we have no record that they were believed by anybody. Now, here's the thing about it. They're out there watching the Passover lamb. They're not supposed to leave their post. But the angel appears and says, the Messiah has been born. They hear this news. They leave the Passover flock and go to the manger and they find the Lamb of God. And now, the shepherds charged with watching the Passover lambs are now watching over the Passover Lamb and guarding him. They left the flock. Now get this. They left the flock of sheep, lambs, that represented Israel's deliverance from bondage and went into the presence of the Lamb of God, who represents mankind's deliverance from bondage. Now here's what the Lord showed me in this. He says, look here in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. That flock represented the most important thing to Israel, the Passover, the deliverance, the salvation. And in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And he said, you know what they did? He said, they left the security of their religion to be in the presence of God. He said, what they did is to be like an example to the body of Christ. If you're truly going to follow me, you have to leave the security of your religion. Now remember, this whole concept here of the Passover flock had been in place for at least a century, maybe even longer than this. These shepherds were raised in this culture, and to have the honor of shepherding the Passover flock would have been an incredible honor. They were probably paid very well. And then to leave that flock alone? To go look at a baby? How are you going to report that one to the high priest? Would the high priest believe you? No. And as you go through Scripture, you can see some of the problems Jesus had with the religious system. And the Lord said, this represents for the body of Christ the very thing I'm trying to get across. There are so many Christians who are watching over their flock continually. Or in other words, they are standing guard over the religion of their past while ignoring the Lamb that's lying in the manger of their heart. And he said, until Christians, any Christian, is willing to leave the flock of their religion and embrace the Savior of their heart, then they're never going to see me. What happened? The shepherds left the security of their religion, so to speak, and they went to the place where they were told, and they laid their eyes on Jesus Christ. They were literally in His presence. If we're going to go to a place in God to where we're going to have this kind of an experience, and I don't mean in the literal fashion, I mean to where we get in the presence of Jesus Himself, we have to be willing to turn our backs on every aspect of the flock that we have been guarding all of our lives. And this is so, so difficult for so many Christians. These shepherds had been ingrained to the Passover, to what these sheep represented, the whole story. That's how they had been raised. For them to leave this, the experience they had with those angels had to have made such an awesome impression upon them. They had to have been firmly convinced that the Messiah we have been waiting for has come, and He's here. And they went to see Him. there are a lot of people who are guarding their Passover lambs because that's what they've been trained to do all their lives. So what does that mean? What it means is they are guarding the traditions that they have been taught as they've been raised in their churches and so forth. And the word is going forth. Truth is here. They're hearing, people, Christians now, are hearing the word of truth. But if they don't leave the flock, they're never going to get in the presence of the Savior. And here's what's interesting. There's so many people that I personally believe, Christians, they're going to guard their flock by night the rest of their lives and never leave that religion, whatever it means to each person. I don't want to wait until I'm standing before the Lord for judgment to know that I made it in because of my faith in Him as my Savior. But when it comes to having experienced Him and His presence, I don't want Him to say, you know, you stayed out there in that dark field guarding the flock of your religious past instead of leaving it behind and coming to me. You know what? Here, think of this. When Jesus completed His work on earth, do you know what? That flock out there, that Passover flock, you know what it was good for? Lamb chops and coats. That's it. Nothing more than that. Those lambs had lost their value because they could no longer do for the people what they had been doing for all of those centuries. Jesus is our living, breathing Passover. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God provided for us to be our sacrifice. It's through Him that we pass over from death into life. It's through Him that we are translated from the power of the enemy and his kingdom into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And now, we don't have to stand watch over a flock by night and go through the religious formality of knowing about Him. We can enter into His manger. And we can stand in His presence. And we can behold His glory. What does it take to do that? It's not easy sometimes. You know, what I find very interesting in this, it looks like all of those shepherds left the flock. All of them. Now, ready for this? In the Greek, the word shepherd is the word poimen. In Scripture, poimen is also the pastor. The shepherds left their religious past to be in the presence of their Savior. From that place of His presence, what did they do? They went out and told it abroad what they had experienced. What's the symbolism? With all due respect, a shepherd is only qualified to tell it abroad if that shepherd leaves the security of a religious system that he's been preaching all his life to enter into the literal presence of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And there he can receive from Him what he needs to go out and tell the world. Praise God. God has such a way of showing things in the Word. Now here's the sad part about it. There are so many shepherds, they don't want to leave the flock of their religion. I don't mean abandon their congregation, you know what I'm talking about. They don't want to leave the religious system that they've been guarding and protecting all these years. What have they been protecting their religious system from? The lions, the tigers, and the bears of other doctrines The problem is, what if those lions, tigers, and bears are truth? Can you imagine a shepherd guarding his flock against truth? But does it happen? You better believe it happens. And it's not that they don't love the Lord, they do. And it's not that they're not trying to do right, they believe they really are. These shepherds believe that they were doing right. You know what? If some of those shepherds had stayed behind and said something like, "Guys, these are the Passover lambs. We can't leave these. What if something comes by and kills them and eats them, or robbers steal them or whatever? We can't leave this. We've got to stay here." Well, according to his religion, he would be doing the right thing. According to man's religion, you do the right thing by protecting it against the invasion of the outsiders. Thing is, you have to be... And see, think of it like this. If you've ever been around sheep and around lambs, to me, they're some of the prettiest, gentlest looking, you know, creatures on earth. They just look so innocent. And there's a place not too far from where we are tonight where they breed sheep. And I drive by there every now and then and I see the lambs out there, and I'll be honest with you, I've been tempted so many times to pull in the driveway and just ask, "Can I pet your sheep?" They just look so, I don't know, lovable. Maybe I'm goofy or something. I don't know. That's just how it comes across to me. These shepherds left those little innocent lambs and they went to be in the presence of Jesus. Sometimes our religion can seem so innocent, so pretty, so precious, so non-threatening. Lambs are non-threatening. So right that it can be very, very difficult to leave behind something that seems so good. But if we're going to go deeper into the Lord, and if we're going to truly fulfill what He wants us to do, we have absolutely no choice but to leave the lambs of religion, the flock behind, to get in the presence of the Lord. Now, you know what happened? After these shepherds went out and told everybody, I can tell you where they went from there. They went back. The reason, and they went back because they were still living under the law and the Passover system. But you know what? That system's come to an end. Put this another way. The only way the body of Christ is really going to be united is if each of us as individuals make a decision. Man's system has to end. And we have to turn our back on everything that, quote, religion represents, so that we can be in the presence of our Lord and Savior and receive from Him what He wants us to receive. So can we do that? Yes, we can. Yeah, we can. You know what's interesting is that so many of us here, a part of this church, we have, and it's not always been easy. There have been times in our lives we've really been challenged about leaving a lamb of this tradition or a lamb of this belief behind because it was so right to us for so long. But we've left them behind. And you know, can you imagine how it would touch your heart? A little lamb bleating, you know, bleating, calling to you as you walked away. You'd want to run back and, you know, pet it, and that's going to be okay. So many times, as we begin turning our backs on our religious past and what it's represented to us, on the inside we can hear that religious voice saying, "Wait, wait, you can't abandon me. I've been so good to you all of these years. Don't turn your back on me." When in reality, it just kept us in bondage. But we've broken away one by one, one by one. We've broken away from so many things that have held us back. And we've gone deeper into that manger to be in the presence of Jesus. And I'm telling you guys, that's the only way to live. That is the only way to be able to go forth and declare the truth of God, is to be in the presence of the Lamb of God and experience everything we can about Him. I am so glad that He is a patient God And in the midst of me defending my flock through the years, he just waited on me. And he just waited on me till the day came when I started walking away from all those little lambs, all those little traditions, and walking toward that manger to be in the presence of my Savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I got there, he was waiting. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.